Thanks for spending time with us on The Green this week. I'm Tom Byrne. Last summer, you may recall, we took you to the Newark Union Church and Cemetery, where Bob and Ann Daly, a retired couple, are working to preserve and restore this little-known piece of history nestled in Brandywine 100. This week, contributor Larry Nagengast takes us back there to check in on the substantial progress that's been made. His piece is available at DelawarePublic.org, and he joined me earlier this week to tell us what he learned on his latest trip to Newark Union Church and Cemetery.
So when you first visited the Dalys, when they really kind of started ramping up this project, they outlined a pretty ambitious project. Based on what you see now there and the reaction that people have to what you've seen, is it fair to say they've kind of largely delivered on this ambitious plan, perhaps even beyond their own expectations?
Well, yes, I suppose that you could say that. I mean, first of all, let me acknowledge that last year I was certainly skeptical about how much they could accomplish. And the people who have been following the project closely are saying now that they're amazed by what the Dalys have done. I mean, amazed was just a word that came up frequently in these conversations. But, you know, face it, these are two people who thought they had settled into a quiet retirement next to an empty church and a serene cemetery. And, you know, in just a matter of months after moving in, they created a new passion project for themselves.
So let's talk a little bit more specifically about this project, and we'll start with the church piece of it. What have they been able to do to the exterior of the church?
Well, okay, no need to get into too much detail here. Probably the best thing to do is read off a list. Here you go. They've been removing, restoring, and reinstalling seven massive lancet windows and two smaller ones. Also, installing a new cedar shake roof, repairing and repainting the stucco exterior, putting a stone frame around the 1845 date stone that's near the peak of the roof, repointing the chimney, adding drainage gutters, which is a first for the church, repairing the soffits, repairing a transom window, and replacing the clapboard in the foyer. Now, that's what's been done. Soon to come, outdoors, what's going on inside, is a storage shed, a carriage house, and a restroom, complete with a compost toilet.
And that's just the exterior. Let's head inside. What is the plan inside? What are they doing on the interior of the church?
Okay, well, first of all, ceiling tiles, which are part of a renovation made at some point in the 20th century, have been removed. And that's opened up a view through the beams up to the 1845 rafters at the top of the church, which are now being cleaned. Mold and mildew have been removed. Old paint has been scraped off the walls. The plaster has been repaired. Wainscoting is being installed. Also on the way is something that wasn't available either when the church was built or when it was restored in 1906, air conditioning. Work on restoring the pews is going to begin next month in June, according to Bob Daly. And now only four of those pews are now in the church. The other 17 are being stored temporarily in a neighbor's garage.
And I will say, that's a lot of stuff you've just read off there. If people want to get at least a taste of what he's talking about, go to the story at DelawarePublic.org. There's a number of pictures there to give you at least a sense of what all that looks like in reality. Now, ultimately, Larry, what is the plan for the church, and where do things stand with those efforts to give the church a new purpose?
Well, the plan here is to create what's really going to be a multi-purpose facility. It's envisioned to be a venue for weddings. It's also a place for civic groups and community organizations to meet, and a museum. And all of these activities are, you know, certainly feasible and interrelated.
Can you tell us a little bit about the museum piece, because that interests me a lot. And yeah, I guess a lot of people are kind of wondering, it's a multi-purpose facility that they're gunning for, that doesn't necessarily jibe with the idea of a museum. What is it going to look like? What will this museum highlight? And how's it going to work when it's also serving these other purposes?
Yeah, again, it seems like this might be an example of something of the Newark Union Corporation biting off more than it can chew. But that also means it's going to be an opportunity to surprise me and many others when it does actually work out. The museum itself would have three themes, and that sounds kind of tough, but here you go. First, it would include artifacts from the wars in which veterans buried in the church's cemetery had fought. And that covers everything from the American Revolution up through Vietnam. Next, it would describe life in Brandywine Hundred from the mid-1800s, when the church was built, through 1906, when it was renovated. And finally, it would tell the story of the prominent families of Brandywine Hundred, whose members are buried in the cemetery. The Weldons, the Sharpleys, the Husbands, the Forwoods, the Beesons, and so many other names that people in the area north of Wilmington are quite familiar with. Now, this multi-purpose use does create a bit of a challenge, and that's why they're building that storage shed that I mentioned outside. For weddings, they would expect to use those church pews, which would be stored in the shed that they're getting until they're needed for a wedding ceremony. Now, the museum displays themselves would be movable so that they could be rolled either to the sides of the church or carried into the shed to make room for the wedding guests. And then for community meetings, they could probably keep these museum exhibits rolled over towards the side and use folding chairs in the museum area as for meeting purposes. So they've got ideas on how to make this work, and now just a case of finishing up the restoration and going on to the next phase of creating the museum and furnishing it out.
So we've talked about what's going on inside and outside the church. Let's move over to the cemetery now. What's being done there, and what are some of the challenges of getting that piece of this project up to where they want it to be?
Well, you know, last year they completed one significant project, which was completing a memorial to veterans and installing an illuminated flagpole. A second significant project, a memorial garden with benches and plantings, is now nearing completion. What's left is something that did start a year ago and quite literally calls for some heavy lifting, and that's the raising of dozens of headstones that had sunk into the ground, often more than a foot or two down. Bob Daly and other volunteers are using digging poles to lift the smaller stones, but the larger ones, and some of them I'm told weigh 1,600 pounds or more, need the work of a professional who uses hoists and cranes to lift these large pieces from below the surface. Now, most of this work is being paid for by a grant from the state's Distressed Cemetery Fund. Anyhow, once the stones are lifted, they do have to be cleaned. And very often when the stones are cleaned, they find inscriptions that had been hidden from view for 100 years or more because the stones had been submerged. Then, of course, the holes there from where the stones had fallen have to be filled in. Fresh concrete has to be poured, and then the gravestones are returned to their original position, leveled, and put back into place.
And as you've mentioned a little bit in our conversation already, a lot of what's important about this cemetery is who's there, including various veterans from wars dating all the way back to the Revolutionary War. What's being done to commemorate that part of the cemetery, those people who are buried there?
Well, it's not so much that part of the cemetery, as because the veterans' graves are really throughout the site, because the veterans are parts of so many of these different families. But Bob Daly does tell me that when he goes out to lift up the sunken headstones where their locations have been identified, he often finds evidence of even more stones that have to be lifted up and recovered. And it's the same way with the veterans' graves. Originally, they thought that they had 38 veterans buried at Newark Union among the more than 900 people who are interred there. Now the number is up to 75, and that means that at each one of those veterans' graves, they install a flag and a medallion at each one of those grave sites. And of course, these numbers of veterans buried there is likely to grow because the Dalys are continuously doing research to try to find out more about each of the individuals who's buried there. And then on top of that, the relatives of the deceased come to the cemetery and often share the stories of their loved ones with the Dalys.
Of course, all of this costs money to do. So how do we pay for this part of this work going? Are there plans to raise some more money to make sure they can kind of keep doing this?
Well, you know, this is one of those projects that, when potential donors come out and see it and look at what's going on, it earns grants on its merits. You know, so they've gotten a large five-figure grant from the Crystal Trust, which is a fairly prominent but low-key philanthropic organization in Wilmington with some DuPont family connections. They've gotten significant grants from the Welfare Foundation and Preservation Delaware, some help from Newcastle County, and as I mentioned, the state's Distressed Cemetery Fund. An individual donor kicked in $15,000 last year to help with those window restorations. You know, total cost for both of these projects, the church and the cemetery, is probably going to wind up somewhere north of $200,000. And I strongly suspect that Newark Union is going to find a way to raise it all. Now, they're just about to start a couple of small donor campaigns to preserve the church pews and to put bricks in the memorial garden. They were asking the state for some community reinvestment funds. And the Dailies, as you might have gathered, have become pretty good about figuring out how to ask for money from foundations.
Well, you mentioned the Dailies, and we've mentioned before that this couple is driving this whole process, but they are retired, and they can only lead it for so long. So is there any sense that there's others who are ready to step in and take up this work so it will sustain itself long term?
Well, I'm going to say no to in terms of others right now. But, you know, the fact is, you know, the Dailies are in their 60s. They're still in their 60s. Hey, they're younger than I am, and they've got plenty of vigor and enthusiasm. But you're right. You know, there is a difference between having a passion project and sinking into a bottomless pit. Now, you know, my sense here is that the church and the cemetery work should be done in about 2 years. And when that happens, Newark Union is probably going to want to hire a part-time manager to oversee the museum and to schedule the events. You know, and when that comes, I think the Dailies will be ready to step aside. And until then, I think they're going to be working as hard as they can to create this magnificent piece of living history in the heart of Brandywine 100.
Thanks to contributor Larry Nightingale for enlightening us this week. His piece on progress to restore and preserve Newark Union Church and Cemetery is available at DelawarePublic.org. And that's it for this week's edition of The Green. The stories and interviews you've heard are online right now at DelawarePublic.org. Just head to The Green's page on our website. And remember, The Green can also be found via podcast at our website, on Apple Podcasts, the NPR One app, and the new Delaware Public Media app. We'd also like to hear from you. Give us your feedback and story ideas on our Facebook page, on Twitter, at TheGreenDE, or by emailing us at TheGreen@DelawarePublic.org. Thanks to all those who helped make today's show possible. Contributor Larry Nightingale, Delaware Independent's Andrew Sharp, and Delaware Public Media's Paul Kiefer, and Kelly Steele. For all of them and the rest of the staff here at Delaware Public Media, I'm Tom Fern saying thanks for joining us this week. And we'll see you again next week on The Green, where Delawareans get tuned into a first state of mind.